We are reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 2, The Elephant Gajendra's Crisis. Interesting, Prabhupada says crisis. Crisis is a very modern topic. Crisis, yes? If you're alive, you have crisis. Of one type or another. So Gajendra also has a crisis. And we are reading text number 7. Nanaranya pashu vrata sankula dronya lankrita chitra drumasuro dhyana kalakanta vihangama. Nana. With varieties of Aranyapasu, jungle animals, Vrata, with a multitude, Sankula, filled, Droni, with valleys, Alankritaha, very beautifully decorated. Chitra, with varieties of Dhruma, trees, Sura Udyana, in gardens maintained by the demigods, Kalakanta, sweetly chirping, Vihangama, birds. Translation, and then we will have one more verse with the purport. The valleys beneath Trikuta mountain are beautifully decorated by many varieties of jungle animals, and in the trees which are maintained in gardens by the demigods, varieties of birds chirp with sweet voices. Mm-hmm. Because the crows, they also chirp, but not with sweet voices. Unless this is Vrindavan. Have you heard Vrindavan crows? I was surprised. They say, here they say, ka, ka. Yeah. There they say, ka. Ka. Text 8. Saritsarobir achodai pulinair mani valukai devastrimajjanamoda saurabhambanilairyuta. Trikuta mountain has many lakes and rivers with beaches covered by small gems resembling grains of sand. The water is as clear as crystal. And when the demigod damsels are girls, bathe in it, their bodies lend fragrance to the water and the breeze, thus enriching the atmosphere. But he's doing great Srila Prabhupada. Even in the material world, there are many grades of living entities. The human beings on earth generally cover themselves with external fragrances to stop their bad bodily odors. Bad bodily odors. In American English, they don't even say bodily odor, they just say B.O. Everybody knows what's a B.O. Very good. Bodily odor. But here we find that because of the bodily fragrance of the demigod damsels, the rivers, the lakes, the breeze, and the entire atmosphere of Trikuta mountain also become fragrant. Since the bodies of the damsels in the upper planetary systems are so beautiful, We can just imagine how beautifully formed are the bodies of the Vaikuntha damsels, or the damsels in Vrindavan, the gopis. Srila Prabhupada is amazing. The book says about the elephants, Prabhupada says, oh, Vrindavan, Vrindavan. Everything he brings to Vrindavan. Om Agnati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Vanchakaupataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Shri Chaitanya Padam Bhoja Madhupevinola Katanchana Shriyadesham Shrapitad Ganda Bhagbhavet. My respectful obeisances to all the devotees of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who are like honeybees drinking honey from the lotus of Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet. You see, there is lotuses from Gaurinya time. Even a dog, or Prabhupada says, a dog-like non-devotee, accepting protection from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's devotees, will also get a share of that honey. Yasya prasadagyapi sadhya sarvagyatam rajetsa shri chaitanya deva me bhagavan samprasidatu. May Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, be fully merciful unto us. By His grace, a complete fool can get all knowledge in 1 second. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Adaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktarinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srimad Bhagavatam helps us connect everything to Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam is a very special telescope, microscope, middle scope to see Krishna everywhere with the help of the ears. So Srimad Bhagavatam through the ears adjusts our vision. And then we see Krishna. So here, Parikshit Maharaj is dying. So like, just a few days ago, some devotees were asking me in one place in New Delhi, where I go very often, when they had this recent bout of the COVID epidemic. So in India it was very drastic. So in their Namahata, out of maybe 50 people, about 5 people died within 3 weeks. So it was quite depressing. Devotees who were calling me, they said the whole day they have to talk, 12 hours a day they have to talk on the phone to pacify devotees. Because they say, why didn't you tell us to take precaution, this precaution, you know, wear some protection, do something to, why, that's okay, that's one thing. Another thing, why did Krishna allow it? I was told that there were two family couples who had just joined, and they said, And one husband just died. So the wife is a very new devotee. So she says, what is this? Why Krishna says, I protect? Why didn't he protect my husband? We just joined. We just started hearing about Krishna. And he just got sick and very quickly died. So why Krishna allowed it? Krishna says, I protect my devotees. Yeah? Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashati. Kaunteya declare. Not even Krishna. He says, Arjuna, you declare, my devotee will never perish. And just some useless virus that doesn't even kill like too many. I mean, it kills, but I mean, not everybody gets sick. Some people don't even notice. And it killed a husband who has just started practicing Krishna consciousness. Where Krishna was looking? What happened? He was dancing, or he was... Maybe he's not there. Maybe he does not exist. Actually, this is the biggest doubt. that yanks out, you know, yank, how? Pull out, but yank is abruptly, yank out. Как это было в словенщине? Is pulling, yeah, is pulling. Ненадома. So, even good people who want to accept Krishna may get doubts. Why there is cruelty, suffering, injustice in this? Why Krishna did not protect this one or that one? Krishna's protecting it, right? Like in the Bhagavatam, Krishna is protecting so many people, isn't it? Who Krishna protected? Who do you remember Krishna protected? Prahlad Maharaj, yes, just now. Who else? Parikshit Maharaj. In the womb, yes, Vishnurata, it's called Vishnurata. He was burnt and he was brought back. Yeah. Who else? Jadabharat. Okay, Jadabharat. Oh yeah, when he was being just, his head was about to be cut off and then he was saved. And Arjuna? Ajamil. So Krishna is protecting so many devotees, right? So why didn't he protect her husband? So then when I was talking to this devotee, I said, okay, there are also devotees who died, like Bhishma Dev. Okay, Bhishma Dev died, but he's a Mahajan, he's so powerful, he knows everything. So then I asked this question for Ladananda Maharaj and Chandramani Maharaj and some others. Maharaj immediately said, Parikshit. So the whole Bhagavatam, we have Parikshit, who is cursed to die, and his main name is Vishnurata, protected by Vishnu. That's one of his main names, protected before birth. And he's dying. And he does not mind. He doesn't mind. So he's sure he's going to a good place or a better place. And the whole Bhagavatam is Krishna's protection. So we see that he's again and again thanking Shukadeva Goswami and all the assembled devotees, saying that this is Krishna's mercy. This is Krishna's mercy. Because all the devotees, all the great devotees, all the Mahajans, even some avatars, all the teachers, they all came to both speak and to support the appearance of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is how we can see Krishna even in Kali Yuga. So Bhagavatam is connecting the mind even of a dying person to Krishna. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a very special incarnation of Krishna, very special mercy. And hearing Srimad Bhagavatam is what helps us to see Krishna everywhere. So here we have the higher planetary systems. Eighth canto is a very one of the very esoteric cantos describing the fights between demons and demigods, and churning of the ocean, and Vamanadev, and these beautiful, beautiful places. In the next verse we will hear about many beautiful features. Already here we have some beautiful features. We have the gardens which are cultivated by the demigods, maintained by the demigods. Not only they are nice, but they are also cultivated by the demigods. Even by humans, you can see sometimes people, I mean, just as we are walking with Padayatra, we see so many nice gardens. The trees, the flowers, everything is very beautiful. So if humans can make such beautiful gardens, you can imagine what would be the demigod garden. And as Prabhupada continues, what would be Vrindavan? Yes, what would be first Mathura garden? Yes, the acharyas are saying that when Putana crashed after Krishna sucked out prana out of her, she crashed on a garden in her full big form, she crashed on the garden of Kamsa's followers, Hare Krishna. So there was Mathura Gardens, and she crashed on that garden, crushing those plants. But here we hear about the gardens of the demigods, then we hear about the clear water, crystal clear water. So in the next chapter, Krishna will say that anybody who in the morning will remember this mountain Trikuta, these flowers, or the elephant, or this fight, or these prayers, or even the total material energy, which is quite amazing, will become free from sin. Congratulations! We have remembered. Do you feel? You're already free from sin, so not much difference. Yeah? Although, Jayavadharma says that the worst of the worst sins, Maha Patakas, there are sins where one sin can drag one down, are not as bad as offenses to the holy name. Not as bad as offenses to the holy name. Offenses to the holy name are millions of times worse than the worst sins which immediately drag one down to hell. So in the Jayavadharma then it says, Maharaj, then what is the point of, is there any benefit of chanting with offenses, namaparad? And Maharaj, Babaji Maharaj is smiling and says, well, you get material blessings. Some material prosperity. But we also hear that Srimad Bhagavatam is the special river of blessings which primarily helps us wash offenses from our life and from our chanting. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the very special form of Krishna which connects, helps us connect everything to Krishna and helps us remove offenses from our chanting. So today also we have Gundicha Marjanam, and in the commentary on the Gundicha Marjanam, Bhaktisiddhantaji mentions different anarthas which prevent us from connecting to Krishna properly. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur expands this. We have Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur giving four categories and four anarthas, main anarthas in each category. So there is from the past sin, anarthas from the past sin, and anarthas from the past piety. So anarthas from the past sin produce pop quiz. What kind? They produce ignorance, tattva vibhram. Four kinds of ignorance. Sva tattva, para tattva, sadhya sadhana tattva, and obstacles. So sin produces ignorance. Then what about punya? What about good acts? How they produce obstacles? What anarthas, good acts produce? Yeah. It's four temptations. You know, the bhoga or bhukti, sense gratification, some siddhi, mystical powers, some like swarga, beautiful conditions. I guess in Slovenia you all have very special punya to live. It's amazing. Wherever you go, such beautiful mountains. And even now, in +35, you can see snow in the mountains. And you can see so lots of punya, right? So therefore, on Sunday, some people's punya will drag them to the mountains. Yeah, some people will rise above their punya and will come to Krishna Katha, Krishna Kirtan, and some will be dragged forcibly because the mountains are right here. Just, you know, push on the gas a little bit or on the pedals and you're already there. So right within your hand. I mean, I'm
half joking, okay? It's I'm admiring. It's actually very admirable. It's amazing. Slovenia. And liberation, mukti. Huh? Apavarga. Yes, apavarga, liberation, yes. It's sort of easier to remember. Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, and... Bhukti, mukti, siddhi, and svarga, yes. Because they... So that's from piety, right? Then from... there is bhaktyutta, or hridaya durbalyam. So that is more expanded upon by Bhaktisiddhantaji. It starts with... with pratishtasha, just establishing myself as a devotee, which is good. Some days ago, I heard Maharaj was reading from Sushruta Samhita, was it? Or was it some Ayurvedic based on Charaka Samhita? It turns out that strong identity, and the word ahankara is used, strong identity, what Carl Jung would probably call self, how does it call it? Integrated self, like healthy ego, let's call it like this, protects you from infection. Can you imagine? Sounds good. Of course, you have the best true ego. You don't need false ego, you have true ego. So, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, we can think, I need to become established as a devotee, right? I am this, I am that, I am... I am a knower of Shastra. We studied, right? Or I am a good book distributor, I am a bad book distributor, I am something. And this is good. And it can be positive. Actually, it is positive. I remember one of the early years, I was so depressed, so attacked by the way, Avadhuta Roy, if you are there, Hare Krishna, regarding Rahu, shadowy, invisible Rahu becoming visible, please read 4.29.69. Prabhupada discusses this there. So, in the beginning of Krishna consciousness, Krishna throws light on all the garbage I collected over millions of years. And it's very shocking and very depressing. Srila Prabhupada and Narada Muni in 4.29.69, they say, it's like, you don't normally see Rahu, because it's a shadowy planet, or it's hard to see. And when there is an eclipse, when it covers the moon, then you don't see the moon very clearly, but then you see very clearly that shadowy planet of Rahu very clearly. So in the same way, when you start practicing Krishna consciousness, you may not feel so clear, nice, inspired, as you felt in the first 3 months, but then all of a sudden you see all the shadows, all the dark clouds, which are like Rahu hiding in the shadowy corners of my heart. And I think, what happened? I was a good boy, I was a good girl. But it's a very positive development of self-realization. At any rate, it's a big topic, which is a separate topic. point is, I was depressed, I was rather hopeless, and because of many causes, but I remember that Achyuta Priya Prabhu, our regional secretary, he's a very sensitive person, he's sort of also a very serious sadhaka. We are very blessed in Ukraine to have such a leader from the very early days. And he said, every devotee has something to be proud about. Every devotee has something to be proud about. Which is not what we usually speak about in lectures. Why should we be proud, right? But I remember at that time I felt so, what do you call it? Depressed, I didn't have any confidence, and I felt that everybody is better, even karmis are better, everybody is better. And this little phrase sort of gave me back some, well, actually, maybe there is something good that I'm doing. Maybe I can feel some confidence in what I'm doing. It actually helped me through several months. So, some ego can be healthy. Even false ego can be through developing through different steps in somewhat healthy way. It's just we shouldn't cheat ourselves. We should be honest. We should not deceive ourselves. We should be honest with ourselves. So pratishtha, that's the first anartha, which is arising in bhakti. But if I'm holding on to this ego or pride, then I will be envious of others. Matsarya. Because if I have ego, I'll be threatened. Right? I know 5 shlokas and she knows 7. Maybe she's better. No, how is it possible? How can somebody be better than me? No. Or if you are on the negative side, pessimistic, then somebody is even worse than you. Yeah. How can anybody be worse than me? I am the most. So then, matsarya, envy. Envy pushes us to kutinati, duplicity and intrigues, and that produces already some other more gross results. So these are bhaktyutta anarthas or hridayodorbalyam, weakness of the heart anarthas. So they are described by Bhaktisiddhantaji in Gundicha Marjanam section, and it's also in our Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the fourth category are the offenses, aparadas. So Srimad Bhagavatam helps us see how everything is connected to Krishna, helps us have healthy respect for Krishna's manifestation and manifestation of Krishna's energies everywhere, and helps us clean our heart so that we can chant and serve and advance without these unnecessary obstacles. So here we have Gajendra suffering, attacked by the crocodile, and then Krishna comes and cuts off the jaws of this crocodile, interestingly enough. Then we will have also the whole big universal Star Wars, demons, and a very amazing story, producing the nectar, churning the ocean for the nectar, and Vishnu comes and tells the demigods, agree to everything the demons say. And the demons, whatever they want, you say, okay. And we know that the demons basically self-destruct. They first, the demigods took the serpent, the Vasuki, by the head, and the demon said, no, why should we hold the tail? We want the head. And the demon goes, okay, take the head. And then it was the fire-breathing dragon, as all Ljubljana people know dragons, right? You have it on the coat of arms of the city. I'm not sure which one. As my, and they self-destruct, and then they cooperate to churn, and then the demons attack. At any rate, there are obviously so many amazing stories which bathe our mind in Krishna Lila and connect everything in this universe to Krishna. So these are the heavenly planets. Of course, this is not the fully heavenly place. This is just nearby on the Bhumandala plain, the Milk Ocean. And it's just that it's not the karma bhumi, the earth where we produce karma. It's where they enjoy, which is most of other places where they enjoy the good result of their karma. And it seems enjoyment is good, but even if you're a demigod, beautiful, nice Vaishnava demigod, you cannot be a demigod in heaven if you're not a Vaishnava, a devotee of some kind. But there is a problem. What is the problem? From time to time, demons attack. Not too often, maybe some whatever. Not sure exactly about the percentage, not more than 10% of the time, but sometimes it is still the material platform, strongly tinged with passion. In the higher planets of the sages, 4 and the resistance of the sages, this happens extremely rarely, almost never, but even there, sometimes may happen, even in the Brahma Loka, as we read in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So, the Bhagavatam describes all the places, everywhere, but in connection with Krishna. In connection with Krishna. So we can connect everything to Krishna. And when you connect everything to Krishna, Krishna says in the next chapter, when you hear about my Gajendra, when you hear about this Trikuta mountain. So in Slovenia you have Triglav. It's even on the flag. And this is something very similar, Trikuta. Of course, you have the gold, the silver, and the... what's the third peak? The iron peak. Three peaks of the mountain connected to the three modes. Trikuta. So even remembering this Trikuta cleanses us from sins. So Krishna says, I'm happy. Basically, he says, I'm happy when you remember me. Like this. When you try to glorify my devotees, makes me happy, and I remove many obstacles from your path. So, as Prabhupada says, we know the name of God, the address of God, and the phone number of God. So, the only problem is people don't really want to know, or they don't believe they can know. They are hopeless. They've given up hope that they can know. But I guess it's a good proposal when you distribute book. Do you want to know the phone number of God? Do you want to know the address of God? Do you want to know his summer house? The locations of his summer houses. Everything described here. His summer houses, his Vrindavan Dham, all the different planets are described here. So you can know. And when we read about that, Krishna helps us become elevated. And helps us appreciate devotees, when we serve devotees in any way, makes Krishna very happy, so happy. Somehow I was remembering just a couple of days ago, my mother had an operation on her cataract. So old people very often have cataracts developing, which used to be a rather depressing and hopeless condition, but apparently it's a very easy and simple and quick operation these days. So my mother, she was very, even though my sister, she works in a clinic that does such operations, and she was reassuring, this is the simplest operation in existence. This is the bloodless, completely safe, it's the safest, and you just come in and go away. It's very easy. And still, obviously, she felt very worried. But anyway, yesterday she already was looking through the new eye at finally seeing the leaves on the trees outside the window. But why I'm remembering is because the father and the mother, they are not young, 88, 86, and they were helped throughout by my cousin and by the young neighbor girl, there are some family couple living nearby, so they were helping the whole day. They brought them to the hospital. They stayed in the hospital. They were all the time there. They brought them back. Just neighbors. So when I heard about this, I thought, my God, they are so good, this neighbor. This neighbor is so good. I felt, I'm feeling obliged and grateful. Because I'm not there, and it's not easy to travel these days crossing the borders. And the neighbor, who is not, it's not her duty or anything, and she was so humbly just helping the whole day. I feel obliged. I pray, Krishna, please bless them. I think, can I do something else to help them? So if such a ordinary person as myself can feel gratitude when some of my relatives are helped by somebody, can you imagine how Krishna feels when you try to help his devotees? If an ordinary person like myself feel grateful for some help for one day, I'm deeply grateful. Imagine Krishna with the softest, sweetest, gentlest heart in the existence, how grateful he feels when we try to serve devotees, hear about devotees, glorify devotees. So this is the whole Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam can be translated as beautiful devotees, actually. Bhagavata is a devotee. So it's a book about devotees. And Krishna says, I love when you hear about my devotees, when you hear about all these all this universe in connection to me. He says, and I'm grateful. Prabhupada once said that when we chant Hare Krishna, we say, Krishna, please accept me. Krishna, please accept me. And when we chant and say, Krishna, please accept me, Krishna says, you, please accept me. And in the Nectar of Devotion, he says, Krishna is so grateful. And just for one exclamation of Govinda by Draupadi, Krishna supplied her infinite help. So how much he will be grateful if you chant every day your japa of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. And if every day you go to all the cities in Slovenia, some are famous, like Zagore, Opsavi, the place of your very, very pious Drnovšek, correct? Which hosts 6,853 people. And you bring the names of Hare Krishna and the books there. Or some less famous, I remember when we were, where was it? Was it Postojna or was it Novogorica? I was thinking, it's amazing, people are sitting in their homes and they just look out of the window and there they have the deities, they have the Harinam, they have the books, even Piškotki, even the cookies are there. Krishna is sending you to help reclaim all these people. They sit at home and then you come and you sing and you dance. And so Krishna is extremely merciful, and our task is to help Krishna distribute his mercy. And if you help, and if you connect ourselves to Krishna, other people to Krishna, and everything we see around to Krishna, then the progress will become smoother and smoother. And we may go far beyond the planet of Gajendra, far beyond even Brahmaloka, even beyond Vaikuntha. And maybe we can go to Shivrindavan Dham in the spiritual world. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Comments, questions, points? Hare Krishna. All the very well.
Question by Avadhut Rai Prabhu. Prahlad had to suffer so much torture. Why Narasimha tolerated torturing his devotee?
Narasimha, okay.
He could appear much before. What are his various reasons to delay his appearance? What are the various reasons to delay his appearance?
Yeah, this is the question, right? When Prahlad, we read that he did not even suffer. Srila Prabhupada says that Sri Prahlad Maharaj did not even consider that Hiranyakashipu is a horrible demon, sadistic, crazy, psychopathic, sociopathic, whatever else, pathic, spiritual, pathic monster. Prabhupada says that Prahlad Maharaj thought, oh, my father is probably just playing and joking. Krishna Govinda. must be playing in jhongi. He did not take offense. So Prahlad Maharaj did not feel any, apparently did not feel either physical trouble. The fire didn't burn him, the water didn't drown him, either physical or even mental. Because as we know, mental probably hurts more, right? And even physical apparently doesn't hurt without the mental. And that's how the anesthesia, painkillers, work. They disconnect your mind from the subtle, from the gross, and then it doesn't give you so much pain. So the mind is what hurts. So apparently it didn't hurt him, right? So he didn't really suffer because he was in full Krishna consciousness. Our question oftentimes is, okay, Prahlad, he was so elevated, didn't hurt him. What about this devotee or that devotee? Okay, what about me? It hurts me. Why Krishna allows, right? So long. Well, what do you think? Tiraskrita vipraladha kshipta shaptaha tapi nasya tat pratikurvanti tad bhakta prabhavopihi. In the end of the first canto, Parikshit is glorified. The devotees of Krishna, even when they are insulted, cheated, neglected, cursed, or killed, do not try to take revenge, even if they can. Even if they can. And then a little later, speaking about, this is 1.18.48, and then two verses later, speaking about both Parikshit and Shramika Rishi, it says, Prayasho sadavo loke parair dvandvesho yojita. Even though others try to drag devotees or transcendentalists, transcendentalists drag the transcendentalists into duality. Na vyatante na hrishyanti. Devotees do not become either disturbed or overly happy, materially disturbed or materially happy. Yata atma guna srayaha. Because they are sheltered in spirit. They do not get overwhelmed by the modes of the material world, by the duality, because they take shelter in spirit. So, Krishna has to help us get trained, and if not Krishna, then Maya, Tattva Sandarbha. Jiva Goswami says that Maya has the ungrateful task, make sure that we develop invincible immunity before being admitted to Krishna. Because if we come to Krishna and we are sick, not healthy, it's not nice. So therefore Maya trains us that we become healthy, healthy, healthy. Unbreakable health. And then we go back to Krishna. And so all these things, they are training us.
Hare Krishna, thank you very much for the lecture. You're mentioning this churning of the ocean of milk in this eighth canto, and Vasuki, he was the snake, yeah? He was being cut in half?
No. He was just wrapped around the mountain and okay. Used as a rope.
No, what were you mentioning to be cut? Maybe Rahu and Ketu to be cut?
Rahu and Ketu.
They're cut, one is head, one
oh, yeah, that is also here, yes, true, yes, 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 yes.
So I'm wondering, I was listening to one Jyotish lecture, speaking how Rahu represents most of our senses, like eyes is there in the head, hearing, taste, smell. But Ketu actually represents like feeling and touch. Many times we hear in Jungian this literature, how integration of the self is supposed to integrate, not to be cut, like different fragments of the self. And many times we hear like, this is coming from the head, this is coming from the heart. Are we supposed to integrate all these shadow sides, like Jung spoke about this snake eating its own tail, this Ouroboros? Is this actually the...
So are we as devotees supposed to accept all our faculties?
Yes.
Yes, okay, Hare Krishna. Regarding Rahu and Ketu, they are both shadowy. Mm-hmm. They are both shadowy planets. And in astrology, they both reflect these very subtle, very strange and oftentimes weird, openly weird things in our life. And again, astrology, we can say that over the last few hundred and thousand years has been fractured also, just like many other sciences got fractured. Astrology got fractured because it was applied mostly to karmis. That's why some devotees go to the astrologers and astrologers say, oh, you have such a bad chart. Because these are karmi astrologers. They are astrologers who know only how to read karmic charts. Whereas for a devotee, it has a completely different signification. So for a devotee, these are all friends. Or like for a non-devotee, 12th house, they will say, oh, you will go to a hospital, to a prison, to a faraway, to an exile, to an exile. But for a devotee, it's not exile, it's India. It's the dream of life to go to the Holy Dharma. It's not a hospital and prison, it's the ashram. Or going to the altar and worshipping the Lord. So it's the same place, but for a yogi, what to speak about a bhakta, it has a different reading. So the same Rahu, Ketu, Saturn, non-devotees are oftentimes scared, but for a devotee, this is qualities like humility, sensitivity, kindness, empathy, detachment, respect, and so forth. So it has a different reading. So we will hope that it will be more and more rediscovered and returned from oblivion. It seems that there are many very smart people inclined, if not to devotion, at least to transcendental practice, who are taking care of this. So shadowy planets for a devotee are not so cruel as to a non-devotee, because they all become the impetuses for advancement. And the same Carl Jung, even though he got the highest marks from Srila Prabhupada in his dialectic spiritualism, the same Carl Jung says that it's almost impossible to fully integrate your shadow, because every time there will be more and more hidden things. So unfortunately, our poor, although respected Carl Jung didn't practice chanting Hare Krishna and living in an ashram and reading Srimad Bhagavatam, because otherwise he would know that it's all revealed to a devotee from the early days, because the shadow are things we deny. So basically, integrate means to stop cheating myself, to stop denying things. It's a very common expression nowadays, since probably almost 100 years, denial. He's in denial. Who is cruel? Who is angry? I am angry. I'm not angry. I'm not screaming. I'm peaceful. I'm the kindest person in the world. Show me who is kinder. I'll kill him and again I'll be the kindest person in the world. So that's it's called denial. You know, I'm denying something that's obvious to everybody except me. So for a devotee, so that's integration basically, to see it. And so integrating means to be honest to ourselves. And if I can't be honest to myself, no problem. Your Brahmacharya Ashram friends will help.
Jung actually spoke about I mean, he developed this Jungian analysis, and the very root of analysis is like anal Isis. So Isis, you know, had like her Osiris was cut by Hat in very small pieces. So one of the Freud's students, Roberto Saggioli, he said, like, there's no point of us analyzing our psyche and shadowy side into endless pieces. It's just about... so he came up with psychosynthesis. It's about reconnecting to the self. So I find it very interesting how... this bhakti process, it's like Krishna is like the sun. It's like if we turn our face towards the sun, it's like all the shadows fall away. And it's similar, the process of connecting of yoga to connect all the bits and pieces to Krishna, then it's...
Yeah, thank you. We have the best. This is our... super mega psychoanalysis. You read the Bhagavatam and all parts, not just inside, but everywhere, and get reconnected to Krishna. Although we obviously we can create obstacles to it, and it can take a little time, you know, few million lives also. But it's accompanied by infinite mercy of Krishna. So, if we want to, if we are ready, then Krishna is more eager, as Prabhupada writes in 1.2.16, that Krishna is more eager to return us than we can ever desire. And I think this is a very good news, that he is waiting for us more than we even want to return. Want to add something? Thank you so much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Bhakta Sangha ki jai.